The views expressed by the host or hosts in this show do not necessarily represent those of our clients, sponsors, partners, or guests, and should not be considered investment advice in any way. Similarly, the views and opinions of our guests and clients do not necessarily reflect those of our hosts or our platform. Nothing shared on this platform or any other platform affiliated with us should be read and construed as constituting investment advice of any kind on the part of Insider Exchange, any of its hosts, guests, partners, or sponsors. Trading and investing carry varying levels of risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Please ensure that you fully understand the risks and take appropriate care to manage your risk. We strongly advise that you obtain independent financial, legal, and tax advice from regulated professionals and institutions before proceeding with investment decisions.
About Tuesday?
No, about the World Cup. What happened to your hand? Two separate questions. Possibly related?
No, World Cup's excellent. I'm not going.
Did you think Bafana would ever go?
No. And I can't go because I've been nasty to Charlie Kirk.
Oh, yes. That's another thing, right? Well, that's why we have Make It Make Sense, because we're discussing the World Cup and Charlie Kirk in that segment. And yes, we're still not sponsored by Cinnabon, and we've changed coffee providers. Those are the other tidbits that we would like to keep you updated. There we go. Wimpy makes a good coffee. Famous brands, if you're listening. Sai says you make good coffee. Maybe not all of your famous brands, but Wimpy at least. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. But let's get the show on the road.
Let's kick things off. Let's get the show on the road.
Unfettered. 98 are currently collapsing.
Privilege of welcoming one of our good friends into studio.
So not even Buffett listens to Buffett.
Sue me, China, if you must.
1 of 22 on AC, but you're not getting that at home.
Ken, there's quite a bit to discuss.
The stock is cheap.
The last podcast I did.
Oh, introduce me.
I'm Jimmy Mayer.
And I'm Simon Brown.
Welcome to Insider Exchange.
Hello and welcome to Insider Exchange. Welcome to the show. We are discussing all manner of things on the show today. Useful updates today. We're going to get into a lot of them. Here's the timer, and we're getting ready in 3, 2, 1, go. First one's going to be very easy. The JSC has a new CEO. Dr. Leila Faree stepping down. Valdeen Reddy will be assuming the role of CEO. I think that's a brilliant move. I happen to know both ladies. They're both wonderful human beings. And I think that level of continuity just looked effortless.
I think it absolutely did. It also means a 3-for-3 with female CEOs. And that got some of Twitter very, very upset. Until you point out that some companies are like 50-for-50 and actually just like sit down. Yeah, I think it's a good move. I was surprised Leila didn't stay longer, but
you know, I suppose with whatever objectives you have in place and perhaps some other life things that you might want to look at, she was there for quite some time anyway.
Six years?
Yeah. Okay. JSC tenure did well. Well, her tenure was great. I think Valdeen will do exceptionally well
Valdeen's
from that
great.
Perspective.
No, like her.
There we go. That's a good update. We got that one in time. Next one's quite interesting. Marcus Uster, well, the late Marcus Uster's assets being seized and forfeited by the Saab to the state. So there's a particular place on the Government Gazette's websites where they're having to update us on mandatory certain things that they do. I've been keeping an eye on that since the Saab started seizing funds under exchange control regulations when they first seized the funds of the alleged mistress of the late Marcus Uster.
Oh, that's right.
That 60 million rand seizure sent me down a spiral. Now I keep up to date on that site on a regular basis, and I saw that the most recent release there related to that was that they seized, amongst other things, some vehicles and some personal items and jewelry worth almost 800,000 rand. Far cry from the estate of Marcus Uster and what has happened around that, but the Saab has put out that notice as they have to in law.
Yeah, and it's not Saab money, right? So it's our money.
Technically, it gets forfeited over to the state.
And
so
Treasury gets it.
Treasury has it now. And that is the announcement of, or that is the notice of that forfeiture that comes through via the public channels. But that's all we have on that one. The French jewels being stolen.
I have a question.
Yes.
Were they French jewels that were stolen, or were they stolen jewels that the French had stolen that were stolen? Like, where's the stealing happening part? You know, maybe. And has no one thought about this? Maybe someone was just taking their jewels back.
All I'm going to say on the matter is the Louvre was broken into and it was closed as a result. But those are valid questions.
It's a bit of a crime scene itself, just saying.
Those are valid questions, okay. And one might ask the same questions of places like Buckingham Palace and get like the same weird answers.
Yeah, I got into big trouble at one of those museums in the UK. I was actually St. Paul's Cathedral in the basement.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird place to get into trouble. Nevertheless, next update. We are looking at the South African Reserve Bank governor.
Yes. What did he do?
He believes that the rand to the dollar should be trading at 7 rand to the US dollar.
Sure. I mean, we can all pick a number. Why not? 7's a good one. I like it. I wish it was. It's not.
It's not. It's 17 rand. There's a whole 10 rand in between.
Yeah. He just like, maybe he's losing his eyesight. Didn't see the one. I mean, you know, so there's a couple of things here. And a lot of folks out there saying, but there is certainly, I mean, we've had currency manipulation cases before. We've had challenges. I've had interviews with people where treasuries across the continent just aren't strong enough for bond pricing in terms of knowing the et cetera. And you know, as an emerging market, our currency gets railed for no good reason every so often. But it's not 7.
It's not 7.
And it's not going back to 7. I am bullish on the rand, but 7 is not.
7 is not bullish.
Yo, 7 is. Dude, if it goes to 7, we can't go to the UK, to the US. If it goes to the 7, we'd have to go somewhere.
We'd have to go somewhere. Perhaps we might not be able to go to the US, but some other people might not be able to get there either. Trump demanding peace through violence, demanding peace in the Ukraine and threatening to arm the Ukraine even more if there isn't peace achieved. That must be the weirdest tactic used by anyone to try and resolve a conflict. Similar to what he tried to do with China, except it only got 2 sentences in before the Chinese government responded with saying, you'll be allowed to fire the first one, but you won't be allowed to fire the second one.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got a theory that in the next 1,188 days,
I know. That's too many thousands of days.
1,188 days. At some point, Trump's going to threaten to arm Russia to make Ukraine go to peace. He simply did with Colombia. So he's killing the drug dealers, except apparently they're fishermen. So when the Colombia complained, he threatened them with tariffs.
Okay. You know what? We don't need to say more on that. Let's take a look at Walmart. Finally coming to South Africa.
Yeah, where they're redoing a game store.
Yeah.
A game used to, when I was a kid, and to be clear, we're going back. You know when that movie Back to the Future came out? Yeah, I was a kid before that. So... in the before back part. Anyway, Game was like the place. The best thing at Christmas time, they said, you don't like your gift, bring it to us. Doesn't matter where it was purchased, we will give you credit. Man, there were queues up the town those days at Game. And Game has lost its way. But they're like, so they're refurbishing one Fourways Mall.
Yes, they're starting off in Fourways Mall.
I've never been to Fourways Mall. Should I go? I mean, Fourways is like a black hole. And then apparently the mall's like a black hole.
Like, the mall has been struggling. So I've been to that mall quite a few times. It has been struggling. And it's largely due to the vacancies and all of that. Game is in one end of the mall. I want to see how this Walmart turns out. I don't know if this is the right choice for first store. But to be fair, the Massmart group that owns the Games that is now owned by the Walmart group doesn't have store footprint anywhere else. They shut down all the Dion's before they started shutting down the Games. And now they've shut down the majority of the Game stores that are out there.
And I got to say, I think this is the end of Game, right? I mean, no one needs Game. Game's lost its game. Let's get Walmart. There's one just here, then we can go visit.
Yeah, actually, this is a very big Game store. They could have started right here in Rosebank. Yes.
Where no one goes.
They tried to do a revamp of Game when they started introducing groceries into Game. That didn't work out.
How did that go?
Oh, well. We'll see. Walmart's coming to South Africa. We'll see how we feel about that once it arrives and once we see what the pricing looks like. South Africa coming off the grey list.
Boom,
next
Friday.
Update.
It's happening. It's done. It's like, well, to be announced, but not to be confirmed. I told you this a month ago. I had, I can't say what I had. but the short answer is, and it was a confidential off-the-record lunch.
Mm.
The short answer is, there was a whole bunch of things we need to do. It's like literally a list. It's not like Trump.
It was a checklist.
It's a checklist. We've ticked them all. The peeps were here earlier in the year to make sure that we actually have ticked them all. You want to get onto this FAFT thing, man. All the meetings are in Paris, travels around the world. You go to Mauritius, South Africa, okay, and Zimbabwe, but nonetheless. And we're off, maybe, with our buddies from Nigeria, who are not going to the World Cup.
Don't say that. We have 25 seconds. Final update. South Africa going nuclear. The Minister of Electricity put out the Integrated Resource Plan, announcing that part of what we're going to be looking at over the next 15 years as part of our energy mix is things like gas and nuclear. When we did this earlier, we looked at it with Russia coming on board from nuclear expertise. Now, we don't know what this looks like, but we're going nuclear.
Yeah, someone in Nkandla is... Sure. I mean, the world is going nuclear. Problem with nuclear, takes too long.
Nuclear takes too long, as these updates do as well. That's useful updates for the show, folks. If you have useful updates, of course, let us know. Send them through to us. We're happy to take a look at them. We're happy to add them to our list if we find time for them. But of course, we are out of time for that. We're going to get into our deep dive. Stick around for that. It's going to be quite an interesting one. We have been racking our brains around this for quite some time, but that comes up next. And we're moving on to our deep dive. We are diving into the world of rare earths metals. There are 17 of them. The world is going absolutely crazy about them. The US, China, and everybody else are fighting to get their hands on exactly what these rare earth elements are. And we're going to be taking a look at this. We're going to be taking a look at the value of these elements and what they are used for. It's weird that in this day and age, this is what we're fighting over. It's not out of the ordinary, because for centuries, people have been fighting over mined resources, right? Mm-hmm. This is technically mined resources. But we've shifted from things that are simple to spell, that exist on the periodic table of elements.
Neodymium.
You see?
Dysprosium.
Mm-hmm.
Lanthanum.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the most rare. So the key thing with rare earths, they're not rare. They are everywhere. They are abundant. The problem is that abundance makes it really, really hard to process.
And that's where China has the edge. That's where the advantage is because for China, they know how to process.
Yeah, they've got about 60-odd% of the world's rare earths. Mm-hmm. That's partly because they're just big, but they have most of the processing capacity. They've got about 90+% of the world's processing capacity. Now, there are American companies, some of them are listed. There are, you know, who are also doing rare earths and involved. But I mean, frankly, much like back in the day, South Africa had a monopoly on gold way back in the day, like way back in the day. But these days, it really is China's got this. And unfortunately, well, or fortunately, depending which side of the periodic table you sit, they are very useful. Their main thing is batteries. And we think, yeah, not filling up batteries, magnets. Mm-hmm. You think magnets, who cares? Magnets, everything. Your phones, your cars, speakers. I mean, magnets are everything. Wind turbines, hard drives, magnets are where it's at. And without rare earths, magnets fade away. And then there's other things, displays and stuff. But they are very, very important. And China's kind of known this for a while.
Mm.
But when Trump came along in his first term and started getting all belligerent and everything and tweeting stuff, and China, as they do, they thought, what can we do? And they looked out at their vast China and thought rare earth. So they've basically been spending since Trump term one in 2016 sort of getting clever about this. And they are, without a shadow of a doubt, they are using this as leverage against Trump. He can rail all he wants about his NVIDIA chips that they can't buy. Yeah, but NVIDIA can't make them without rare earths.
Just for context, folks, let's put it into a bit of a timeline in terms of how long it would take for a country to be sufficiently efficient at processing rare earths. There's mining and development that takes anywhere between 3 and 7 years to actually mine the metals that come out of there. Then there's still refining and separation of those metals, which is a chemical process that's involved there. That can take anywhere between 5 to 10 years to perfect and to get around. Then there's the process of, as Sai mentioned, going from the alloys to the magnets. The magnets are used everywhere from turbines to EVs to batteries to everywhere that we can think of. And that's the final use case thereof, is the manufacturing of the rare earths. That process could take anywhere between 5 and 15 years. So best case scenario, best estimate, if a country were to start today to say we are now going to be proficient in rare earths and we want to put all of our efforts into being a processing nation such as China has done, it would take you anywhere between 10 and 20 years before you would then start to see a return, which is why China has been able to monopolize the market, because they've put in those hours already.
Yeah, and that's just it. So there's a U.S. company, MP Materials, generally considered to be the largest outside of China. It's NASDAQ, U.S., New York listed. And they are looking to expand, of course. But to your point, their expansion plans are measured in many, many years. It's not like, you know, build a new room. They're talking 5-10 years. There's Lynas Rare Earths, Australian company. They mine in Australia. They process somewhere in Asia, not China. And they also want to. But it's not simple. It's like the lithograph things that come out of ASML. The tech is hot. You know, processing PGMs and getting the chromite, processing gold and getting the copper or uranium, depending where you're mining your gold. Our gold's uranium. Much of the world is copper as byproduct.
Mm.
Requires a lot of chemical process and skill and knowledge. But we've also been doing it as a planet for a very, very long time.
Oh.
This whole rare earth thing is relatively newish. I mean, sure, we've been mining them for a while, but, you know, 40 years ago, demand for rare earths was, you know, except for the odd disco freak with his big speakers, like, rare earths were not that important.
Well, we've just come into rare earths. China's built their dominance up over 35 years with subsidies and environmental laws and legislation around that. So they built the infrastructure for this a long time ago.
Yeah, and now they have it.
And to unseat them from that position, but that doesn't mean that there isn't an investment case within the rare earth space. I mean, otherwise it wouldn't be such a contentious topic. It wouldn't be something that even Donald Trump is willing to sit down and say, hang on, let's talk. Because for the rest of the conversations, it's always been, I will talk as the president of the United States and you will listen as the president of every other nation. Where it comes to rare earths, suddenly it's, oh, President Xi and I have a great friendship and a great relationship and we're going to discuss this amicably.
And that's part of it. So most nations, with all the tariff nonsense. Remember 90 deals in 90 days?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway. Most have kind of rolled over. I mean, you know, we've sent some proposals, but AGOA is now dead and we are paying whatever that, I think it's 30% or something. Most countries have largely rolled over. China don't roll for no one. China did roll over in the 1850s, the opium wars, to the English. The English basically came and said, China said, opium's bad, we're banning it. England came and said, yeah, but it makes money for us, you must allow it. China said no, and England invaded. And that's where the whole Hong Kong story came from. So, but China was like, yeah, we're not rolling. The thing is that, and it wasn't so much that Xi Jinping / China knew there was going to be a second Trump term. They were doing this even under Biden. They realized that if stuff got real, they needed stuff on their side of the equation. You remember before Trump, it was all around the 5G and is it Huawei, who had like a global dominance in 5G. And then suddenly countries, including America, to be clear, under Obama and Europe, etc., were saying we can't use Chinese 5G routers because there might be a backdoor. We've never seen one. We've never proved one's there, but it might be
conspiracy
there.
Theory.
Sure, 100%. And China's like, well, okay, we need something in our pocket. And well, hello, rare earth. And the rest of the world, you know, someone in 50 years' time watching this video is going to be laughing at us and saying, but we all got rare earths these days. Sure. But in 2025, China's got it. The rest of the world has been caught napping.
So I'm going to put something forward. In the rare earths space, to achieve refining capacity and all of those sorts of things, rare earths, as we've mentioned, go into things like hydrogen technology, go into turbines, go into EVs, right?
Mm-hmm.
South Africa, being the first country in the world to have signed on to participate in the Just Energy Transition partnership that was announced by the EU many, many years ago, and with our drive for just energy transitions and all the amounts that we've been getting and all of that, for many months, actually many years even, we've focused this just energy transition on a cleaner way of getting energy from a South African perspective. Less reliance on Eskom, less reliance on coal and those sorts of things, right? The reality is South Africa remains the country probably with the highest coal reserves in the world.
And we probably have the most rare earths because we have the most of almost everything.
Right. Now, what happens? Perhaps we'll put this forward. Perhaps we'll put together a parliamentary paper and we'll submit it to Parliament too. South Africa uses the Just Energy Transition banner and works to reposition itself into a rare earths processing country.
Yeah.
Because that would align with the Just Energy Transition mandate in that it's dealing with EVs, it's dealing with hydrogen technologies and those sorts of things. But it would also mean that we don't have to take our PGMs outside of the country, because we've had this conversation about beneficiation of minerals and those sorts of things. So then beneficiate them locally, process them locally, get into the rare earths play. You've already got the skills and expertise you can leverage off of from China. Yes, it would make you a greater ally of China's and probably upset the United States, but it's not as though they're not upset with us anyway.
Well, and then, but actually then they would quite like us because we have what they want.
No. It would be a very contentious question as to whether they like us or they would just want to invade us.
Oh,
We know the history.
Ooh, well, remember there was that disaster movie that ended up in the Drakensberg? And it occurred to me then that when global warming happened, George Bush was definitely, this was under W, going to come for us because, like, Drakensberg, nice place, a good altitude, no risk of the ocean. I mean, you're not worried about ocean rising when you're at the top of the Drakensberg.
Have you seen the latest, we're getting a bit sidetracked, G20 movie? There is a movie. You know how United States...
G20
and,
movie.
Yes, there's a movie about the G20 and
there is
everything.
No way on earth.
There's chaos happening in Cape Town, and it's because the G20 is being held in South Africa. It's a mess. It's a typical American
lady?
Movie. Which lady are you referring to, Si?
I don't know. The one with the gun and a red dress. Viola Davis.
Ah, Viola Davis, yes.
I know nothing.
She, in this movie, I believe, acts as the president of the United States, if I'm not mistaken.
Huh. So the problem is it's on Prime.
Yes, U.S. President Danielle Sutton. So okay. She is the president of the United States.
I don't have access to Amazon Prime.
Mm.
She's quite a badass looking American president. Yo.
So
and we got Trump. We could have Viola Davis and we got Trump. Like America, like you got things. So your logic. So I did a quick ChatGPT. We've got the Steenkamp Scroll mine just outside Van Rijen's Dorp, which he says is in the Western Cape. I thought it was the Northern Cape. Anyway, it has one of the highest grades of rare earths in the world. Unfortunately, it's in monzonite vein, which is some of the hardest rock available, which is the problem with those rare earths. We've got it, we've got the concentration, but it's like in a rock, like a hard rock, not just a play rock. We probably do have. I mean, think around our iron ore, which is of the highest grade that you get globally, and we're just like tripping over it. As you mentioned, coal, gold, PGMs. We have most of the stuff.
Mm.
It's just we're a little behind, and I'm not sure that our government is very fast.
That, but here's an idea. There's a company listed on the JSE. It's called AECI. They make explosives. We can boom, boom the rock and get to the rare earths. Yeah. We've got everything.
Now you got the rock. Now
yes.
You can still process it. No, getting the rocks are easy, and we're good at that stuff. It's the process. Now, I'm just suddenly, that movie's only got like 5.1 out of 10.
Hmm.
Did Viola Davis do anybody?
I don't know. I haven't watched the movie. Perhaps we'll watch the movie. Folks, if you've seen it, let us know. Give us your thoughts.
So the problem is, I mean, to your point, getting the rocks out is not the hard part. Mm. The hard part is that process.
But then let's leverage off of our relationship with China and say, hey, guys, teach us how to process because you guys are so proficient at this.
Yeah, then we are going to get invaded because Trump is not going to invade China. But little South Africa, come on, we once invaded Lesotho.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost. Never.
It was a long time ago.
You think we got better since then? Okay, to be clear, Mangosuthu Buthelezi was also the prime minister, or the president at that point. Mandela was off having a holiday somewhere. This is 1998. Do you think our military's got better since 98 or worse? Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to take a silver lining from this.
Yes, give me a silver lining.
The silver lining will be Cuba. Look at Cuba's positioning globally. Mm-hmm. Look at their ties to Russia. Mm-hmm. Look at the protection they enjoy from Russia. Imagine if we enjoyed a similar protection from the likes of Russia and China, two nuclear superpowers versus America's one nuclear superpower. Also, we are going into nuclear as well, which...
Oh, we're also going into nuclear. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Porn candler.
Look, I say we just... I mean, beneficiation is what we've been talking about. Just energy transition is what we've been talking about.
100%.
Mining the resources, the rhodium, the palladium, the PGMs, all of the resources, all of the rare earths are here already. We are missing one piece of the puzzle. Yes, it's a very critical piece,
but
it's not a piece we can't acquire.
Correct, or do. I mean, we've got smart peeps in this country.
That's it.
I mean, we could do it. We're not going to do it by my birthday. Have you seen Christmas decorations out there and I haven't had my birthday? I know off tack, but folks, it's got to stop.
Halloween hasn't even happened.
Yeah, my birthday's... When is Halloween?
31st.
Okay, I'm 30.
Yes,
okay.
just after your birthday.
Yeah, my birthday, then we can do the other stuff. Anyway, I agree with you 100%. And I do think it's going to take some time. We can buy some tech. Or maybe Trump wants to give us tech from them. He could nationalize the American company. He's got the tech and give it to us. I mean, we are smart people. China could help. I Yes, I think we should be looking at, and to be clear, and if you speak to, who's the old guy who knows more about mining than anyone?
Peter Major.
GC.
Love Peter Major. I should actually speak to him about that.
Yes, no, 100%. He will tell you that there are more closed mines in South Africa than there are open mines in the rest of the world, or some crazy stat like that. I don't know if you've ever played, like, Civilization, the computer game. Like, there are now 7 versions. I got to say, number 7, I'm not liking. It went pear-shaped after about 4. Anyway, if you were playing as South Africa, you would win every time, because the only thing you don't have is oil, but you have everything else.
Mm.
And yet, here we are, looking at you, Gwede Mantashe.
Ooh, Minister of Mineral Resources and Petroleum, I think
that
is now.
That's not where I thought you were going with that, but that is a true statement.
Yeah, well,
We should be the rare earth peeps.
See, this is the frustration that I think South Africans go through, is when you realize the potential of the country, and we talk about things like wanting to increase our GDP, wanting to create jobs and all of that, and the trigger mechanisms are all there. They're just not being pulled. It starts to move into a very different political kind of conversation, which we're not going to have now. We'll have that perhaps at another time. But the deep dive, where we're going to leave this, and we'd love to get your thoughts around this, is should South Africa make a play for rare earths if that is where everybody else is going, and we have a strategic advantage to get there before anyone else?
And the demand is only going up.
And the demand is only going up, even though most of the large manufacturers have scaled back their EV rollouts. That's a story for another day, of course. That's a potentially a deep dive for another day. But for now, this is where we're going to leave this one. And we're wrapping things up with our Make It Make Sense segment. We have been trying to make sense of some of the things that have been out there. And today, we've got a couple of them. We'll see if we can wrap our heads around them. As always, folks, we'd love to get your thoughts on them as well. Si, we've got 3.
Mm.
I guess let's perhaps start with the simplest
one. Mm.
The 14th of October, President Trump has officially designated that National Day of Remembrance of Charlie Kirk. A National Day of Remembrance for Charlie Kirk was held on the 14th of October, and he signed that would then be the case. Now, I don't know if this is now going to be an official United States public holiday going forward, but the 14th this month, 6 odd days ago, last week Tuesday, it was designated National Day of Remembrance for Charlie Kirk.
I have no words. I have 2 words. Sandy Hook. Come on. The man is...
Careful, Si. There's a no-fly list for people that say things.
So I'm not going to see Bafana next year unless they play in Mexico, because I'm not going to get into America. You can't make this make sense.
Can't make it make sense. And the Bafana update, interestingly enough, is our last Make It Make Sense today. We will get into that in a second. Before we get into that, another little quick tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
The Minister of Social Development in South Africa, Minister Tolasha, had...
They don't do anything, do they?
Previously hired a chief of staff who was 22 years old. Now, basic maths would tell you that at 22, even if you had finished school at 18 and you'd done a 3 or 4 year degree.
Well, maybe you're a genius and you finished at 14.
Okay, genius finished at 14. I don't know if that was the case with the appointed chief of staff. This chief of staff was earning upwards of R1 million as a salary for a chief of staff. Now, for a 22-year-old, that's a handsome paycheck, right? There was a lot of backlash on social media. The chief of staff was subsequently dismissed. She went to court. She tried to fight this in court, and I think that didn't work out too well, and now the Minister of Social Development has come back to say they believe in the court systems and everything worked out in the end. I suppose the question here is quite simple, is how did you hire them in the first place? How were they qualified to be a chief of staff for a minister at 22? I'm not saying it's not possible, folks. Please don't come after us on social media and say we're being unreasonable here. We're just trying to make sense of it, right? That's what the segment is.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're the smartest person in the room. I mean, that's entirely possible. I was going to say I've met some smart 22-year-olds. That's not true. I remember being 22. I was many things.
Smart wasn't one of them.
I'm not even sure smart was a top 10. I mean, maybe it was 10. But like that, you know, let's get quite clear about that. You know, it is just, it's our politicians. There's politicians the world over, but ours are really, really good at it. They just take us for fools. I mean, remember that whole CETA debacle earlier in the year when the minister was like, no, I had a group of people, a committee, and the Soak was in charge, and the Oak's like, yo, no, never happened. Mm-hmm. Like, what did the minister think? Like, the soak was just, I mean...
Yeah,
like,
someone was going to be the scapegoat.
Yeah, but they were like, yo, but no. Like, oh, yo.
Folks, help us make sense of it. The last thing we're trying to make sense of is the ticket prices for the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Yes, there's a proviso here. The Rand is exceptionally weak against the US dollar at the moment. So, pinch of salt for everybody. But base level tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
Group stages. You're looking at anywhere around R1,000 mark, which isn't unreasonable for a football game. We've seen people pay more for that. People have paid more for a South African rugby game where the Springboks have played.
Yeah, you're not going to get Springbok rugby for R1,000. I paid R300 to watch Brazil beat Ghana. Was it Ghana?
The 2010.
Orange ones in 2010 at FNB.
The orange team would have been Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire.
Ah, it was Cote d'Ivoire. My bad. Yes, yes, yes. I got myself an orange beanie. They lost. It was sad.
Okay.
R1,000. That's
thousand
not too
rand.
Bad.
That's a base level price at
you
a
mean
group stage.
So far away that you're actually watching it on TV because you can't. Because that was the one thing. Like,
that's
I couldn't really see the Oaks. And it was also minus 400 degrees at F&B when you're that high up. But carry on. Okay. So the bad seats.
The bad seats. The higher end of those seats would be around R4,400. Group stages, of course. Well, there's a couple of other things in between round of 16, quarterfinals, semifinals, and all of that, right? So I'll give you a bit of a bearing around by the time we get to the finals where we stand. Base price for finals tickets at the moment are around R12,000. Bleacher seats for the final. Decent-ish seats.
I mean, it's not bad. I'm not paying it. But I mean, 12, no, I mean, 12 grand for a World Cup soccer final. Okay, I mean,
decent-ish
seats. I mean, terrible. Okay.
The top end of those seats, according to ESPN at the moment, are around R115,000.
No, now you are drunk on 115K. Thousands odds.
It gets worse.
Yeah.
So, for those who enjoy watching football or watching these sorts of events in premium hospitality style.
Oh, that's how you want to do
box,
it.
With a box, with a suite, with snacks.
And drinks.
And drinks.
And a TV.
And a bathroom you don't have to share.
Yeah. No queues for the bar. That's
right.
That's our seats. Okay, cool.
Those are our seats.
Yeah.
Those at the moment... Now, this doesn't really clarify whether it's group stage or final stage, but those at the moment are around R1.2 million. We can go buy Ferraris.
Yeah, let's go buy Ferraris. R1.2 million.
So this is why.
So I assume that includes my drink and food, right? I don't have to.
Can't be sure. You might be limited to one drink per person. I don't know.
You mean I got to swap? Because in America, you can't tap.
You can't tap. You got to swipe.
You got to swap.
Yeah. So this is why it made the Make It Make Sense
segment, right?
That's why
DSTV,
right?
Like you pay $1,000 for DSTV and you think this is expensive. DSTV is like, well, then turn it off
go watch it yourself. And this is the thing, right? So are these prices reasonable? From a South African perspective, I understand the hiss. I understand the wanting to support Bafana Bafana. I understand the fact that we haven't qualified for a World Cup ever democratic South Africa outside of that 96 qualification through winning AFCON.
No, we got there 2020. We qualified legit.
2010.
2000. We went through the whole stagey thing.
Oh, yes. 2000. Yes, 2000. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, country that hasn't qualified for the World Cup in more than 20 years.
Mm.
I get it.
There are kids out there who've never seen us at the World Cup.
There are people that weren't born when we were last at a World Cup. That is true. Now, the big question in Make It Make Sense, and this is what we're trying to make sense of it, is would you go as a South African to go watch Bafana Bafana? Would you pay that amount of money to go and watch the boys play in the United States, where already you're probably not going to be received the best by the President of the United States?
No, I would not. Look, it's easy. Firstly, I don't have all that thousand. Secondly, I can't get into America because I've said things about
racists. Because you've said things.
And thirdly, I mean, I'm not, like, I mean, I like Bafana Bafana and I loved watching them win AFCONs and stuff. But like, no, I mean, I wouldn't, no.
So
I wouldn't even do that to see the best rugby team in the world.
Which is the Springboks, in case anybody's forgotten that.
It's the shock. Springboks are second.
Trust a Durban boy to say that. Si, interestingly enough, around the World Cup, I don't know if you've noticed that almost every country that President Trump has a problem with has qualified for the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Remember the time when President Trump put a ban on undocumented individuals and immigrants and all those things, and you will not be allowed here and this and that and all of that? A lot of those countries have qualified for the World Cup.
And do Americans even watch soccer? They don't call it soccer. They call it...
First of all, they call it the wrong thing. Secondly, they believe that American football is greater than every other sport in the
American
world.
American football, they wear helmets.
Yes. The sport that no one outside of America really pays that much attention
to. I watched Brian Lara getting bowled by Alan Donald, and Brian Lara didn't wear a helmet, but like Alan Donald made balls go fast.
And if you've watched a single rugby game where it's an actual contact sport, makes you ask questions about...
Although maybe I did play rugby as a kid, and maybe that explains a lot.
So, we'd love to hear your thoughts, folks. Make it make sense. Help us make sense of it. Are these tickets reasonably priced? Is the problem our exchange rate? And more importantly, would you go and support Bafana Bafana next year at the World Cup? That's where we're going to leave our Make It Make Sense. And that's where we're also going to leave the show, because we've run out of time. But before we go, as we always do, because it is our civic duty to ensure that you have an unfiltered opinion. This week's unfiltered opinion is a doozy. Sai has a story about St. Paul's Cathedral and the basement and the tombs and...
You've got to give the context.
You give the context. It's your story.
So you go to St. Paul's. It's a pretty building and all. And they take you down to what they call the crypts.
Where is this? For London. Those that don't know.
London.
London.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And there's that famous picture where all of London got bombed, but St. Paul's didn't, rising through the smoke. It's a cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
And you go into the crypts, which I got to say, I was expecting more crypty type stuff. It's basically like...
Mummies.
It's like a basement. It's like where they keep all their extra stuff that they don't know where to stick it. And they've got this plaque to 121 British servicemen who died defending the Republic in Natal against the Zulus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how? Like, no. You were colonizing. You were invading. You were here to steal land and cattle. You weren't defending anything. You should not have been there. Yeah, like, this is like nonsense. You should burn this. This is embarrassing. To which my wife's like, I don't think you can say that. And I'm like, no. I free speech, like, stuff. This is 2000. We just got democracy in our country. We're 6 years in. We're practicing our free speech. And then I start to realize, like stuff is there. It's like not their stuff. Like it's stolen stuff. Like, if I steal stuff, there's trouble.
Yeah.
But if you St. Paul and you steal stuff,
it's fine. If the British do it, it's fine.
Yeah. So I was like really, really like muttering and snarking and saying to people, that is not fair and that is illegal and that is patently wrong. I know, because I'm from KwaZulu. They asked me to leave. Fortunately, I'd finished. I'd done the whole thing. I'd seen the crime scene. I mean, they say British Museum is bad. Just the whole island. So someone tweeted on Twitter right now that like the Louvre, maybe they should go look at the English, because the English have a thing of stealing jewels.
Ooh.
No, it was blatant. It was horrible. Like, they are celebrating invading a country and killing locals. No.
Absolutely not. That's the unfiltered opinion of the week. Simon Brown may be the only human in history to be kicked out of St. Paul's Cathedral for saying the right things. That's where we're going to leave the show, folks. Remember, investing isn't hard. Just try it.
The views expressed by the host or hosts in this show do not necessarily represent those of our clients, sponsors, partners, or guests, and should not be considered investment advice in any way. Similarly, the views and opinions of our guests and clients do not necessarily reflect those of our hosts or our platform. Nothing shared on this platform or any other platform affiliated with us should be read and construed as constituting investment advice of any kind on the part of Insider Exchange, any of its hosts, guests, partners, or sponsors. Trading and investing carry varying levels of risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Please ensure that you fully understand the risks and take appropriate care to manage your risk. We strongly advise that you obtain independent financial, legal, and tax advice from regulated professionals and institutions before proceeding with investment decisions.